So we have been talking about the Holy Spirit on these Sunday mornings this year, 2019, and we're going to continue to do so today because the Holy Spirit is a subject that is not darkened in many churches, amen. There's not many people that talk much about the Holy Spirit because they can't preach what they don't know. But we know it, and we know Him, so therefore we're going to preach Him, so that we can increase faith to have His ministry performed in our lives. So the Holy Spirit is a very real and pertinent part of the Christian life. In fact, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would have a very difficult time doing anything productive for God. So we're thankful for the Holy Spirit coming to live in us when we are saved, but that's where most Christians stop. They believe that the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you once you're saved, but they need to also understand there is a second work of grace that's to transpire in every Christian's life, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's where the Holy Spirit doesn't just come within you, but He comes upon you, empowering you and enabling you to live the Christian life. Many of us are struggling to live for God. Many of us are struggling to work out our own salvation, because we have not received the power that comes from on high. When the Holy Spirit moves in and we let Him have control in our life, He's not going to make you do anything, but He sure makes Christian living so much easier. Amen. Because He's given you all these different tools and gifts that will enable you to be the kind of witness and testify of the Lord the way that you're called to do. Amen. So we're on a particular series on the Holy Spirit right now that I'm calling The Commission of the Holy Spirit, and in this particular series, we're talking specifically about the specific things that the Holy Spirit is assigned and called to do in our life. And we're specifically looking over at John chapters 14 through 16, where Jesus, on the night before His crucifixion, began to teach His disciples some very important things about that was going to keep them when Jesus was gone, that was going to enable them to be successful in everything God had called them to do. And one of the primary subjects in these three chapters is the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us some specific things that He is called, commissioned to do for us. Amen. So we've talked about some of these things. The first thing we looked at that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do is He would abide with us forever. And that's good news right there, because that means He's going to stick with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. The Holy Spirit, when He moves in permanently. He says to you, you can't get rid of me. Amen. I'm there, and I am faithful. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is with us, and that is super important for us to understand because, listen, if He wasn't first with us forever, then everything else we're going to talk about that He's going to do for us, they wouldn't be forever either. So we need to understand He's there to perform all the rest of these things. And so what we looked at in part three of this particular series is that He is called to teach us all things. Now, Jesus was talking to His disciples, His apostles during this moment, He said that the Holy Spirit, that you couldn't bear everything that I wanted to share with you, but when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to teach you all things. And so what that essentially means is the Holy Spirit's going to pick up where I left off. So we found out, you know what that means? That what we have written in the four Gospels is not everything. It's not all things. What's contained in the epistles is what the Holy Spirit taught His disciples, amen. And so therefore, those are the things the Holy Spirit's now going to teach us. And then we saw over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 that it says, but you have the anointing from the Holy One. And what will happen? He will teach you concerning all things. A little bit different language than what Jesus said over in John 14, 26 and 25. So when He says that He will teach us concerning all things, what does that mean? It means that He's going to teach you concerning everything I've already taught my disciples. So what's that mean? He's going to teach you everything that's in those epistles. In Colossians, in Ephesians, in Galatians, in all of these particular things, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all that truth and begin to reveal to you the revelation of the mystery of God. Amen. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit will teach you is through this wonderful gift called praying in tongues. Now, I know that most churches don't like to talk about tongues, but I like to say it this way because I just kind of, I'm a little more confrontive. On the side, if I'm talking to you one-on-one, I'm a little more sheepish, but just something happens when I get the microphone and I stand before you, and I like to say, yes, we believe in tongues. I will enunciate that one. We are seeker-sensitive, but we don't operate in a seeker-sensitive manner to where we don't talk about things that the Bible talks about. Amen? We're going to talk about things that the Bible emphasizes. So when we pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit then downloads things into our spirit. He teaches you the mystery of God. Amen? So that's why we need to have this wonderful gift. And as we do that, we can understand more and have the Holy Spirit teach us more. But last week, we talked about that the Holy Spirit will not just teach us all things. Jesus went on to say in John 14, verses 25 and 26, that He will also bring to your remembrance all the things that I have said to you. Because I can just imagine Jesus' disciples were probably freaking out because they didn't have little composition booklets to where they were able to write down everything Jesus was teaching for the past 3.5 years. They were doing it based on memory. And like it is with many of us, we don't necessarily have the sharpest memory out there. We might not remember everything. That's when Jesus gave us this wonderful other commission of the Holy Spirit, that He will bring to your remembrance things. The Holy Spirit is the best note-taking system in the world. So when you got Him, He'll bring things back up. And so everything that He reminded them of is what's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So this is how it applies to us, is that the Holy Spirit will now teach us out of the Gospels, and He'll bring those things back up when we need it. But we also found out that He'll also bring to your remembrance things in the day of trial and temptation. When you've got the difficult times that you go through, we're all going to go through these difficult times. And when this happens, the Holy Spirit is there to give us the sword of the Spirit. There's a reason why our lone offensive weapon in the armor of God is called the sword of the Spirit, because it's, as the Amplified Bible, the sword which the Spirit wields. He's the one that pulls that sword out of its sheath, puts it in your hand so you can put it in your mouth and speak it out and put it into the atmosphere. Amen. So He will give you those words in due season. Amen? Now, that's super important because essentially when you look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the word of God, the spoken word of God, what does that show us? It shows us that this commission of the Holy Spirit to bring things to our remembrance is essentially how He does that. Amen? He's going to have to remind you of certain things. But we found out that we have to get in the Word of God ourselves, because in order to be reminded of something, what do you need to have first done? Heard it before. So if we're not getting in the Word ourselves, if we're not letting the Holy Spirit teach us all things, then He has nothing to remind you of. And some of us are making it very hard for the Holy Ghost because our Bible's over there collecting dust, you know what I'm saying, on our nightstand. If we spend time in the Word of God and hide His Word in our heart, then the Holy Spirit is able to bring more up when you need it. And how many of you can attest to the fact the Holy Spirit has brought Scriptures up when you needed it? Amen. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. It just happened to me recently. There were some things that I had allowed the enemy to deceive me on. And I had some stinking thinking in a certain area. And thank God I had a long drive that I had to take somewhere, and then the Holy Spirit started ministering to me and bringing to my remembrance all the things that Jesus had said. And so none of us are, we're all subject to be having this temptation come against us, so what do we need to do? We need to let the Holy Spirit do His job in our life, and He'll get us back on the path that we need to be on. Praise the Lord. So we found out there are also some very important benefits to being reminded. Most of us don't like to be reminded. You know, if somebody comes to you and said, don't forget to do such and such, what's usually our attitude? I know it's nobody in this room, but maybe I've done it before. Our reaction might be, I know that. Why are you telling me that? Right? But how many of you know that's the wrong attitude to have? Because have you ever forgotten anything that was important before? Has anybody in here ever forgotten anything that you wish somebody would have reminded you on? I think we could all raise our hand on that. So, are we capable of forgetting some things from time to time? Yes. So guess what? We need to embrace the reminders from man and from the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord and say, thank You for that reminder. I appreciate it. I could have forgotten that. I did remember it, but I thank You because I might have missed it. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's there to do this. And some of the things that we found out are the benefits of being reminded is that it stirs up our pure mind. It's what makes that pot of soup that you've been cooking from sitting there and being stagnant, it'll actually stir it up to where it's fresh and tasty and it won't burn, right? Amen. So the Holy Spirit's job is there to keep the Word of God fresh to us. Amen. So I trust that everybody is applying the things that we've been learning here and actually experiencing the Holy Spirit teaching you, abiding with you, and reminding you. But let's go to John chapter 15. Because in the course of this message that the Holy Spirit was Jesus was given about the Holy Spirit, he says something that's very important here in John chapter 15. Let's start in verse 18. I just really encourage you to read these three chapters and really get them down in your heart, because these are super significant truths for us to live by. Jesus says in John 15, verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You know what that's basically saying? My father in the faith likes to put it this way. If you're not running into the devil, you're probably running in the same direction. So when you're not of the world, what's going to happen? People of the world are going to be stirred up to hate you and persecute you. So it's actually a good sign when people are coming against you that are ungodly and of the world. It's an indication you're going in the right direction. You're a salmon that's swimming upstream, amen? And so therefore there is the resistance that comes. And then he says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake." Why? "Because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Now, you know, there's a reason Jesus told his disciples this. Because it is certainly helpful to go into the day of trial, the day of temptation, and the day of persecution, knowing it's going to happen. And you know why? Because the devil loves to come. He'll stir something up, a tribulation, or he'll stir a person up to persecute you, and then he'll come on the back end and tell you, this is happening to you because you don't have no faith, because you got sin in your life, because God's forsaken you. And he'll actually accuse you, saying to you, these things are happening because you brought them on yourself. That's when you need the Holy Ghost to prepare you and remind you for the time that you know these things are going to happen. And the Holy Ghost will actually warn you and prepare you for these times. He will. He'll let you know. In fact, Jesus already showed us right here it's going to happen. So I need to know that, though, as the scripture says, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So how many of you desire to live godly? I hope everybody's hand goes up in here. That's what we're here for. We desire to be more godly. Well, the Bible promises us, if we desire to live godly, we will suffer persecution. People will hate us. People will come against us. Because if you hadn't noticed already, the majority of this world out there is being run by the ruler of this world. And all he has to do is just put his finger on something and push a button, and boom, all of a sudden it just stirs up. I'm telling you, I've experienced this in numerous ways, particularly sharing the gospel. The devil hates it. So we don't look at the circumstances as an indication of are we on the right path or not. Because sometimes the circumstances are a result that we're on the right path. But notice that Jesus goes on to say in verse 26, on the heels of preparing them that they will be persecuted, they will be hated. But when the helper, the parakletos, the one called alongside to help, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify. Say testify. Testify of me. Now the first point I want to make out of this verse is this. While Jesus worded this in a future tense, saying the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes in the future, whom I shall send to you from the Father in the future, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father in the future, that we are not to look at this as still being in the future. It was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost filled that upper room and tongues of fire came upon their head. Now we can say the Holy Spirit has come. He has been sent from the Father. He has proceeded from the Father. So we're not waiting on the Holy Spirit out there one day to come upon us. I'm not tarrying for the Holy Spirit anymore. I know some of us have come through those Pentecostal circles before that we say, well, you just got to, well, I want the Holy Ghost. I need to receive the Holy Ghost. And they say, you need to go tarry at the altar. You're not doing the scripture. Because the Bible says tarry in Jerusalem. So if we believe in tarrying, we need to go to Israel and tarry there. Was that too deep for some of you this morning? So we're not waiting on the Holy Spirit anymore. Jesus, when he told them to tarry in Jerusalem, that was so that Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost would come. Thank God we're living in a perpetual Pentecost now. Amen. We're not waiting for the day of Pentecost anymore. Amen. Pentecost lives in us. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit's already come. He's already been sent. He's already proceeded from the Father. And what is he specifically commissioned to do? Notice this. He will testify of me. Now, this wasn't one that I had in my list of all the different things the Holy Spirit will do for you, but the Holy Spirit quickened it to me this week is, don't forget, there's another thing that I do. I will testify of Jesus. And we'll find out what this means. Now, if I were to ask you the question, how does he do this? How does the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus? Most of you would answer and say, he testifies of Jesus through us. That it's our words and our actions. So the Holy Spirit's relationship with us, he's the one that does it through us. But I want you to notice the next verse. Look at verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The words bear witness there are the exact same Greek word as the word testify in the previous verse. So what Jesus is saying right there is, the Holy Spirit will testify of me. But guess what? You're also going to bear witness with me, indicating that the way the Holy Spirit testifies and bears witness is not through us. We're doing it too. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. So then, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit will testify from us? Well, let's look at this word, testify and bears witness. It comes from the Greek word martyreo. I might be pronouncing that wrong, but do you hear an English word in there? What does it sound like? Martyr. It's where we get our English word martyr from. It literally means to be a witness, to bear witness, or to have a testimony. Amen. Now, when we think of the word martyr, we think of somebody dying. And that's a lot of times what it means. It means to suffer even to the point of death because of your testimony, because of your witness. All right? But the word in and of itself literally means to bear witness or to have a testimony. So in order to answer that question of how the Holy Spirit does this, how does he bear witness? How does he testify of Jesus? I think that we need to look at, first of all, a scripture, and then look at the example of how we witness and how we give a testimony. So you interested in this morning? Yeah. Amen. Let's go back over to John chapter 1. I want to show you another passage of scripture where this word martyreo is used a couple of times. Because to me, I believe that it teaches us how the Holy Ghost does his job. It's John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And it's concerning a man named John the Baptist. Now, I'm going to call him John the Baptist, even though he was not of the Baptist denomination. But I'm going to call him John the Baptist to distinguish between him and the Apostle John who was writing this. Because we've got two Johns. In fact, the Apostle John loved this word, martyreo. He used it, listen to this, in 31 verses in his gospel. When you go look this word up, this is the main book that this word means, is used in. So that's important for us to understand. But notice verse 6, and when we read this, I want you to hear not just that John was commissioned to do this, but how this echoes the commission of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a what?
Witness.
A witness. To what? Bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So what the Apostle John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, stated that the John the Baptist was called and commissioned to do was, he was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. To do what? To bear witness of him and to testify of him. Amen? So notice again, go back to the first verse, verse 6. Notice the first thing it says about John the Baptist, that he was sent from God. Now, didn't we just read over there in John 15, 26, that the Holy Spirit would be sent from the Father? Jesus said it many different ways, just like John was. Whose name was John? Verse 7. This man came for a witness. Now, that sounds like what John said in chapter 15 and verse 26, that he will come to testify of Jesus and to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. So listen, this is how the Holy Spirit functions too. And one thing that I saw in this, it's very interesting, that the commission of the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, is identical to the commission of the one who would come immediately after him, the Holy Ghost. So what Jesus had in his ministry was he had somebody who preceded him, who was given testimony of him, and somebody who followed him, who was also testifying of him. And what I'm attempting to get across to you today, I believe through the Holy Spirit, is that this is what it's all about. If the one that preceded him and the one that followed him are all testifying of him, then that shows me it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about anything else. It all points to Jesus. Amen. So this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. So just like John was coming to declare, hey, it's not about me. Don't look at me as being anything special. There is one mightier than I that will come, and I can't even strap up his sandals. I'm nothing to him. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit will do. He's constantly pointing us to the light. And that's why the Bible teaches us, we'll get into this in the future, that he came to glorify Jesus. He didn't come to glorify himself. Amen? So the Holy Ghost's job is not to receive praise and accolades while he's here on the earth. It's to point people to Jesus. Just like Jesus' ministry, when he was here in the flesh, was to point people to his Father. Now, one thing that just stands out to me about that is the honor that's in the Godhead. Constantly lowering themselves, becoming a servant of all, becoming the ultimate minister, which means a servant. Many people out there, I want to be a minister too. Oh, do you? Do you know what that is? To be a minister is to be a servant. The word actually means that. So if we're ultimately doing ministry right, then what are we doing? We're serving everyone. To the point where even Jesus got down and washed his disciples' feet. See, that's what the Holy Spirit's job is now. The Holy Spirit is here on the earth to wash our feet. Help us to walk more like Jesus. Glory be to God. So that's the Holy Spirit's job. And it's to bear witness of the light. Why? So that everybody would believe on him. Notice the next verse, verse 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So just as John was not the light, and he confessed he wasn't the light, and was always pointing people to the light, the Holy Spirit is here to point everybody to Jesus. So this is one of the reasons people don't like to talk about the Holy Ghost much, is because he's not here to talk about himself. However, if we really learn who he is in truth, guess what happens? Then everything's going to go back to Jesus. It's like the people that say out there, well, I don't think we should be talking about heaven and the rewards that we'll get in heaven. And people will say, throw out this phrase, which I can't disagree with any more emphatically. They'll say, you can become so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. You ever heard that before? Meaning, if you're always talking about heaven and the way things are going to be there and what a great day that's going to be, people can have this escapist mentality to where they're not productive here on the earth. That's just because they have a perverted and misguided view of what it's like in heaven. If I knew in truth what it's going to be like when I die, it's going to make me more productive here on the earth. Amen? It's like the story I've heard before about, or the example, and I'm not big on horseback riding or anything like that, but I'd heard somebody that knows something about these things. They said that this particular horse, when they'd take it out of the stall and they'd take it out on the trail, as long as it was heading away from the stall, it was slow, it was just dragging its feet. The person kept having to hit it with the switch and get it to go, and the horse just wouldn't do it. But when the horse got to the part on the trail to where, listen to this, its head was turned back towards home. They had to pull back on the reins to get that horse to stop. Likewise it is with us. When we set our mind on things above as they are in truth, and we understand what we will be rewarded for, what we're going to receive when we go there one day, guess what's going to happen? You are going to run more for God on accident than you ever could have on purpose. Glory be to God. So the Holy Spirit's pointing it towards Jesus, pointing everything towards that. So when we understand Him, though, and this is my point, when we get to know Him, become intimately acquainted with Him, and we have all of His ministry being imparted into our life, guess what happens? It's going to make us more fruitful for Jesus. It's going to make us put our attention more on Jesus. Because the more you come to know the Holy Ghost, the more you're going to come to know the light that He bears witness of. Can I get an amen? Amen? So this is what the Holy Ghost's job is, to point us towards Jesus. Amen. Now, when it comes to bearing witness or testifying of the Lord, it's easy to preach this morning. Thank you all very much. When it comes to these things, did you know that's how it works with us being a witness and us testifying? Because those are two of the main functions that we have in our life that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be witnesses. And we're supposed to what? Have a testimony. Now, what I think is just so interesting about this, and those of you who are here on Thursday mornings at Healing School, Minton Williams taught Thursday morning. And me and him hadn't been conversing about anything, but he almost preached the exact identical message of what I'm about to share with you right now. Why? Because it's the same Holy Ghost. And He's trying to get something across to us. Amen. So, let's look at these different things. How are we to witness to people? Go over to Romans chapter 1. I'm stuck on John 2, hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen. When we are witnessing to somebody, it is super important what we say to them. Now, let me say this first. What you do is more important than what you say. Being a witness is more important than just verbalizing things to people. Because if some of us who are dressed like we come to church go to a restaurant this afternoon and we pray over our food beforehand and it's pretty apparent where we've come from, and then we treat our waitress like dirt, how many of you know that's not going to be a good witness? So how we act and how we treat people is an absolute integral part of our witness. So we need to be living this out. That needs to be understood. But I'm talking more about what we say and so forth. Look at this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I love this right here. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, why would anybody ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? I used to question that. I was like, what does he mean? I'm not ashamed of it. Why would you ever be ashamed? Well, I like to use this example. When I was a child, during Christmas time, my parents were ultra good to me. And they would just load me with benefits. Sounds like our Heavenly Father, right? So it was always a wonderful time. But you know something? I was a little bit ashamed of how good my parents were to me. And I wouldn't even want to tell all my friends everything that I got. But you know what? That's not the right way to handle it, is it? What's the right way to handle it in the kingdom of God? You go to somebody and you just let God pour out His goodness in your life and you experience many of His blessings, but you don't get ashamed of them. You don't get ashamed of the good news that He's manifesting in your life. What do? You tell them that you got the opportunity to serve the same good Father that I serve. And He'll do the same for you, amen? So we don't need to be ashamed of what? The gospel of Christ. Now, when people are witnessing, and many of us have unfortunately been exposed to this before, but you can go to certain places and events and so forth, and you'll have these groups of people that will come from certain churches that understand nothing about gospel, and you hear these people, and they're noble, and they're zealous, but they're going around telling everybody, "You're a bunch of sinners! You adulterers and adulteresses, you're going to hell." Have you ever heard these people before? I'm telling you, they are out there. And you can go to those people and say, "What are you doing?" And they'll look at you and say, "We're preaching the gospel to them." How many of you know there is no good news in the fact somebody's a sinner and they're going to hell? Gospel means good news, right? So if I'm preaching the good news, I'm not talking about what the problem is. I'm talking about the solution to the problem. And that's the way it is with bearing witness and having a testimony, is that we don't need to be emphasizing to people that they are a sinner and what their particular situation is at this moment. We're to what? Preach Jesus. Bear witness of Jesus. Tell them about who the solution is. Amen? Because why? It is this good news of Christ that's the power of God to salvation. So what does that mean? If we don't have, if the gospel working in our life, if we're not talking about what Jesus did and the good news of Him, then guess what? There will be no power of God to salvation for those people. Right? So if we want people to get it, we got to be talking about the right thing. So it's power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it, in what? In the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So you ask this question, what is the gospel? What is the good news? It's that, not that they are a sinner, but that righteousness is freely available to them if they'll just believe on Him who God sent. Amen. That righteousness is available. Not that they're a lost sinner and that they're unjustified, but that they can be justified. Now, if you were here Wednesday night with us, you found out I went into a lot of detail on what it means to be justified. And it's actually a legal term which describes being acquitted and free from all charges being made against you. And I made the point that if you went to court for something and you were guilty, but the judge declared you innocent and acquitted you, then I don't care how guilty you get, how condemned you are, if you show up to that court system the next day and say, "Your Honor, I'm just still feel guilty about this. I just don't feel like I should be forgiven right now." That judge is going to look at you like you've got two heads and three eyes. Amen. He's going to look at you and say, "What difference does that make how you feel? What matters is that you've been justified." Justified, never sinned. Amen. That's what the good news is. And it's revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by his feelings.
By faith.
Is that how we're supposed to be living? By how we feel? No, we live by faith. We walk by faith. Look at verse 18 now. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now notice this. It is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So this, the wrath of God, the fact God is against sin and that there is a judgment to come, is already revealed to the ungodly. Therefore, it's not necessarily our job to go around telling people these things. See, and that's where I'm coming at with this, is that the majority of the people, when it comes to witnessing, they spend the most of their time talking about the wrath of God. When God said, He's already done the revealing of that. Our job is to reveal the gospel, which is righteousness. Amen? So it is revealed against heaven, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Look at verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Say in them. So it's already in them. And I'm telling you, you can go and talk to many ungodly people out there and they will absolutely say, "I am an atheist. I don't believe nothing in God. I don't believe nothing about the wrath of God or judgment or anything like that." And they will fight you tooth and nail. But you got scripture to stand on right here that says, it's already been manifested in you. You know it. No, I don't. Don't tell me what I know. Listen, I have heard about people that would go to Vietnam and these self-proclaimed atheists, when the bombs started going off and the bullets started whizzing through their head, they're crying out to God. When the pressure's off, you might think you believe something, but when the pressure's on, it reveals what you believe. For God has shown it to them. How? Look at verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So He's talking about creation here. He's saying creation points people to the existence of God. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Notice that. Creation reveals to us not just that there is a God, but that God is a triune being. And this is what the Holy Ghost does. He bears witness of these things. Just the other day, he did this. He does this for believers too. I was walking through the woods the other day. Yes, looking for a lost golf ball. And I'm walking through. See, Liz, I was in the shade. There you go. So she told me the other day and said, "Hope you walk in the shade." I was like, "I don't want to do that. That means I'm not in the fairway. That means I'm in the woods." But I'm in the woods, and I am very acutely aware when I'm walking through the woods for those little three-leaf plants that can get you itching, right? And so when I'm walking through and looking, I still have a hard time determining what's poison ivy and what's not. But you know what I found out when I'm out there? There are a lot of plants all around my feet that have three leaves. And you know what the Holy Ghost did? I wasn't seeking him for this, but he gently reminded me, all creation makes known my Godhead. See, if the unbelievers would just have an open enough heart to just look at the sunset, to look at the stars, to look at creation and the way things are, they would have to be a fool. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. That's why it's April Fool's Day is National Atheist Day. You got to be a fool to not believe there's a God. It's just ignorance. So he reveals everything. You remember St. Patrick? You know, we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and that's when, well, never mind, I'm not going to go there. But anyways, did you know what he was known to have done? When he went to the area, the island of Ireland, and he's out there witnessing to these natives, did you know what he did? He would take the three-leaf clover and teach them about the Trinity through that. Three in one. And see, this is how we become a witness. We take from what's God's creation and we point people to Jesus. That's how we're a witness. But how does the Holy Spirit do it? He does it separate than us too. If we, listen to this now, if we pray for the people that the Holy Spirit will sick them, then guess what happens? The Holy Spirit, when they're just walking out there, just doing something, planting their garden and cutting their grass, the Holy Ghost will start testifying to them of Jesus. Which brings an important point here. Because many of us like to be Holy Ghost Junior. What do I mean by that? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Holy Ghost Junior is when we, in our drive and passion to see something happen, or because of our type A personality to make things happen, we get in the Holy Ghost's way and try to make it get done ourselves. We have got to learn when is our time to be the witness and say something, and when is our time to shut our mouth. And let the Holy Ghost testify to them. How many of you in your own marriages have found this to be true? Amen. That you just wish that in this one instance you would have just shut your mouth and not said that one thing that created this spiral downhill in the big fight that you incurred with your spouse. It's a good idea for us to let the Holy Ghost do the convicting. And not try to convict them ourselves. Selah, Selah, hallelujah, Selah. But the Holy Ghost's job is to testify and to bear witness, just like we're called to do that. So just like when we go and witness before people, you know, we're talking about Jesus. We're pointing people towards that. Now, the second thing. How about when we give our testimony? Oh man, now I know we have all been to that church where somebody got the microphone to give their testimony and all you heard was about their test and their monies. You didn't hear nothing about Jesus. You didn't hear nothing about what God brought them out of. And this is something that's very important for us to know, that when we give our testimony, sure, we got to give a little background and we need to set things up. But we need to keep what's in the background, and put in the foreground who is supposed to be in the foreground, which is what? Jesus and what he's done for us. Amen. So when we give our testimony, we need to understand that I need to keep it concise. Don't spend too much time talking about all the bad things I've gone through and all the bad things that have happened and all the evil that I did and everything like that. Let me spend more time talking about the solution and what God has done for me. You know, it's very interesting. This is the way the Holy Spirit works, isn't it? If how many of you have ever had, when you ask the Holy Spirit a question or he's revealed something to you, he's initiated it, you know usually what he does? He does not give you a long, drawn-out, rambling story. He's quick, he's concise, and he gives you a nugget. That's why these gifts of the Spirit called the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom are not called the paragraph of knowledge or the story of wisdom. They're quick, they're just right there. It's just boom. It's not just that it's one word, it's that it is put together in a concise, truthful, loving way and delivered clearly. That's how we give our testimony. And that's how the Holy Ghost testifies of Jesus. The Holy Ghost will then come in and he will reveal, listen to me now, he will reveal to us about Jesus. So let's talk about, since we're believers, or do we have any unbelievers in here? Yeah, because now after I talked about being fools, you ain't going to raise your hand now, are you? We're believers. Did you know the Holy Spirit testifies and bears witness with us of Jesus? Because there's invariably times in our life to where we are tempted to think wrong. Like I said earlier and confessed to you, having stinking thinking. You know? And let me just be transparent with you. Recently, I'd had the enemy beating me over the head with messages that I preached. Like when I'd get done, I'd just be like, I would hear this, and it sounded like it was me thinking it. But I'd have these things come to me, and they would say something like, "That wasn't that good. That wasn't the anointing that you've experienced before. You could have conveyed that more clearly." And you know what? People will help you think this way. Have you ever found that out? Oh, the devil. I'm telling you, some of us are sitting there, and we're so spiritual one day. We'll be sitting there and we'll go, "He's the Christ, the Son of the living God." Speaking by the Holy Ghost. But then the next day, "Lord, it shall not be so with you." And Jesus has to tell us, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? We can be used by God one day, but then the switch can flip. So people will help you. The devil loves to stir people up and do that. So anyways, all these different things can kind of happen. And they were happening with me. And I had the opportunity last weekend, I went up to Athens to go celebrate Mother's Day with my mom. So I had a little two-hour drive there, two-hour drive back from Athens. And boy, I was still just wrapped up in this. Again, those thoughts sounded like me thinking that. Right? And I'm telling you, us that preach in this place. Now, you listen to me. If you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, you need to hear this. It is super easy for us to be ultra critical of ourselves. And a lot of the times when we are, the truth is, it's pride. It's about us. You know, how did it come across? So we're tempted in different ways like this. So I'm thinking that, and then the Lord started ministering to me. The Holy Ghost, thank God for the Holy Spirit, started showing me certain things about how the enemy had come to rent space in my mind and caused me to be critical of myself. You know, all condemnation doesn't just come from the devil. Some condemnation comes from you. In your own heart. Your own heart can condemn you. Because you just believe wrong. Right? Because you believe God's got a standard on you that he don't really have. I can't tell you how many times where I've been critical of myself that the Lord has arrested me and shown and pointed me back towards what he's done for me. You know why? Because my mind was on what I'm doing for him. And he wants our mind to be on what he's done for us.
You know, there was this one particular time I remember that I was beating myself over the head because I'm a perfectionist in a lot of ways, and I have to really watch myself in that arena. And in this one time, this was early in my Christian walk, I was beating myself up because I was like, Lord, I keep struggling with this thing. You know, and I was like 3 years saved at that point. And by the way, you need to go by a different birthday. Don't go by your natural birthday. You want to be younger? Go by your spiritual birthday, amen? Right now, glory be to God, I'm about 20 years old in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, I was struggling with this and just like, God, when am I going to get delivered of this habit? When am I going to get free from this thing? And I was outside walking my dog, and the Holy Ghost said to me, look up into the heavens. And it was one of those beautiful, clear nights. And I looked up there and saw all the stars. And you know what he said to me? He said, you need to see yourself the way I see you. When you look up and see all those stars in the midst of all that darkness, you need to understand that's what I do when I look down to the earth. I see all darkness except you. And all those stars, amen, that's the way the Lord sees you. And the Lord said to me, said, Trey, you're focused more on what you haven't come to. Focus on how far I've brought you. Yes, Lord. Glory to God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
But the devil just comes in. And I'm telling you what, we'll start beating ourselves up. God, I just keep failing. I keep messing up. And I keep blowing it. The devil's like, that hammer ain't big enough. Let me give you a bigger one. Boom, and he gives you a mallet to beat yourself with. This is why the gospel of grace, and this is why Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, reveals to us this. So the Holy Ghost will come to you, and guess what he'll do? When you're beating yourself up, if you're hearing him correctly, the Holy Spirit will then come and tell you, you're a champion. You're a winner. If I had a wallet, I'd carry your picture around in it. If I had a refrigerator, I'd put your picture up on it. I think you're awesome. I think you're great. I think that you're going to come to... And he's going to focus on what you can do, not what you haven't done. Amen? Do you understand? If we don't believe that for any other reason, we can believe that by looking at who the Lord chose to be his disciples. I mean, you understand it took a lot of faith for Jesus to leave them in charge of everything. I mean, on the night before his crucifixion, he says, you've seen the Father and you know where I'm going. And one of them speaks up and says, we don't know that. And we don't know, how can we know the way? I'm sure if I was Jesus in that time, I'd have been like, Lord, tomorrow might not be a good day for me to be crucified. I might need another year with these guys. They ain't getting it. But thank God Jesus believes in you. He, love believes all things. Love hopes all things. So love is looking at your potential and not at your current situation and problem. Thank God he believes in us. Amen? And he's for us. So when we give our testimony, and when we bear witness, we need to be doing this with people. Don't have, if I'm sitting up giving my testimony, well, I was just a big old sinner. I did this and did that. I did this drug and I did all these things and I ran around. I smoked and cussed and chewed and I went with those that do too. And all this kind of stuff and talking about all the negative things. Nobody cares about that. What people care about is, how did you get from where you were at to where you're at today? So now tell people how I got introduced to the gospel. And one of the ways you can tell them this happened is that the Holy Ghost came and spoke to my heart and told me there is a way, there is a truth, there is a life. And now I believe on him and he's moved in on the inside of me and he's changed my life from the inside to the outside. Now what I could not become in the weakness of my flesh, God has done through me because he's good, he's gracious, and he is love. He's faithful, even when we're faithless. He's good, even when we ain't. And this is what the Holy Ghost is going to come and testify to you. When you get tempted to think about yourself, He points you back to Jesus. You need to believe this way. This is what Jesus said. Think this way. And it gets the attention on Him. And then, when the attention's on Him, did you know that plants grow towards the light? Don't they? And you know why? It's like their attention is on the light. And I believe, again, nature points us in this direction to show us that when we put our attention on the light, we'll grow to be more like the light. We'll become inclined to Him. So, man, is the Holy Ghost talking to anybody else in here? Oh, man, I'm telling you, some of us have been letting the devil rent space. It wasn't just me. There's some others in here. You've been thinking wrong. And granted, we get weary in well-doing, you know. If we've been trying to believe God for something, or we've been thinking this way, or we continue to struggle, it's easy to do that. But I think this is a life vest thrown out into the waters for us, saying, come on in. The Holy Ghost is catching these fish and saying, there is hope. There is life. There is a great God who loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And the Holy Ghost is constantly testifying of this fact. Do you believe that? Well, let's stand on our feet then.